Hebrews chapter 9, verses 20 through 22 says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. I looked up remission. What's that really mean? It simply means just forgiveness for sins. Remission, forgiveness of sins. Another place where I find this word is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. It talks about, what should we do? All these people had heard Peter preach the first message that he'd ever preached in the church. They were pricked in their heart, the Bible says. What shall we do? What do we need to do? Peter stood up in the midst of all of them and said, this is what you do. You repent. You did wrong. You did something that was terrible. So what you need to do is repent. Get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And the promise is that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And that day they would add like 3,000 souls to the church. Amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I've often thought, and I'm sure that you know some people, I know some people, I have friends, church brothers and sisters that have passed away from cancer. I'm sure that you can think of some people. It wouldn't take long for me to think about some of them. The tears would come to my eyes thinking about how cancer had overcome them and taken their lives. Cancer is a terrible thing. Horrible thing. I had one precious lady that was in our church in Florida, in Ohio, I should say. She came down with lung cancer. She never smoked a day in her life, but she came down with lung cancer, and it took her life. She died from that. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? And you know, sometimes our minds start rolling and thinking and imagining things. We just daydream about things. I was thinking, what if in my blood there was a certain enzyme or a certain protein that the doctors had found out that something in my blood, nobody else's, just mine, would cure cancer? I guess the reason I was thinking that way was because my best friend had just passed away. I thought, what if I had blood, or in my blood, was this protein or enzyme or something that would completely obliterate cancer in somebody's body? And I was thinking in my own carnal mind, wow, my blood would be worth quite a bit. I could be rich. My blood would be worth more than 33,000 acres of corn, Charles. It'd be more valuable than 33,000 acres of corn. Or become more valuable than anything that I could think of. Because people all over the world would be wanting my blood. They would be wanting the transfusion from my blood into theirs so that they could be cured of cancer. And I was thinking, what would I do? Would I sell it? Would I give it away? What would I do? Would I donate my body to science? Would I go ahead and give up my own life for the treatment of cancer all over the world? What would I do? How would I respond? How would I react? I don't know exactly what I would do. I don't think that would ever happen. My blood's not worth a whole lot of anything. Maybe a transfusion might keep somebody alive for another day or two. I don't know. My blood doesn't have very much power to it. But I know somebody whose blood has more power than I could ever imagine or think or believe. I know a man who has shed his blood and given his life so that my sins can be covered, so that I can be healed. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He shed his blood not only to cover our sins, he shed his blood so that we could be healed. He shed his blood so that a multitude of sins could be hidden. The blood of Jesus, the blood that he gave, the blood that he sacrificed and gave is the reason that we are here today. We are here today because he gave himself a ransom. A ransom for many, the Bible says. I don't know why God always required this sacrifice of blood. But ever since, even way back in the very beginning, the beginning of Bible time, God required a sacrifice where blood was shed. You know the story of Cain and Abel. You remember that? God wanted them to bring a sacrifice to him. Cain brought his sacrifice. Abel brought his sacrifice. Abel was a sacrifice of blood. A poor little lamb had to sacrifice his life and die and shed his blood so that he could make a sacrifice unto his God. Now, Cain tried to do the same thing. Cain was a man that took care of farming. He would collect all the corn and the wheat and all this kind of stuff. And he made a big pile of it, and he never done it to God. God said, well, I'm not going to honor that sacrifice, but because Abel sacrificed the blood of his lamb to me, I have respect for that. The Bible says that he had respect for that, but he didn't have respect for Cain, that sacrifice. Now, I think both of them had a pretty good sacrifice, I'm not sure. But I do know that God required, even way back then, a sacrifice of blood. Blood had to be shed for him to honor the sacrifice. We know Cain killed Abel. We know the whole story about that. But even in the scripture today that we read, talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness, how blood had to be sacrificed and shed and sprinkled on the tabernacle, on the holy of holies place, and on the altar of incense, and all the different pieces of furniture that was in the tabernacle. They needed to be sprinkled with the blood from the sacrifice. The blood of the sacrifice in order to roll ahead the sins of those people at those times. That's where the term scapegoat came from. They had to put the blood on that goat and let it go. And the sins of Israel was all of a sudden, it rolled ahead for a year. But it's only a yearly thing. Had to do it every year. I'm so thankful today that I know a man that I can go to and call his name. He has already shed his blood. He has already given his life. He's already sacrificed for my sins. All I got to do is go to him and call upon his name and believe him and trust him and love him. And he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Aren't you thankful to know a man like that today? Aren't you thankful to know who Jesus is today? I'm thankful that I know him. I'm thankful that I trust him and I love him. I would do anything for him because he's done so much for me. The blood of Jesus sacrificed on the cross. The sacrifice that he paid. The torture that he went through. The things that he had to endure so that I could be saved in the year 2026. I could be saved. Set free from the sins of this carnal flesh. Carnality, this unrighteousness within me. My righteousness, the Bible refers to our righteousness as filthy rags. We can't do it ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to get ourselves ready for heaven except to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, to know that his blood has covered my sins, to know that he is there for me. I want to be there for him, but he is there for me. Sacrificed his life for me. Could we have everybody bow their head, close their eyes, as Sheila begins to play this song softly? Lord, you see this congregation and this people. We know you, Lord. We love you. But here in this beginning of this new year, we want to give ourselves again anew and afresh to you. We want to offer ourselves to you again, Lord, in this new year. We know that your blood will never lose its power. Do we know that your blood is there to cover my sin, just as Jan talked about with her, the sins on the heart? We know that you're there, Lord. We know that you're there. And we trust you and believe you. I give myself to you again today, Lord. I give myself to you in repentance. I give myself to you, Lord, because I want to make sure that I am ready to meet you when you call your church, when you call your people, when you call your church to you. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of it, Lord. Amen. Psalm number 304, Sheila. Let's sing this. We want to sing this chorus a couple times. I want us to sing this as our prayer. I want this to be our prayer as we sing. That song as our prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Into my heart. Thank you for responding the way that you have. Let's move on to our communion litany. I'm going to read the first line and you read the next one. As we approach the Lord's table, remember Jesus' teaching. Do not worry about life, food, or clothes. Consider the birds and the lilies, cared for by God, yet never toiling for their beauty. Let us set aside our worries, trusting in God who knows our needs. In this bread and cup, we find a symbol of God's love and provision. People come to help us as we prepare the table, prepare the emblems. I know you laid a song here, but I don't see one in the bulletin. So, those of you that are going to help us to set the table, I'd like to go ahead and come forth right now and help us out.
Do that,
I didn't see a hymn here, I'm sorry. Sure, let's do that.
His blood will never
be. Oh, yes, that's right.
You're the one who
picked
that out.
I know, didn't make it to the bulletin. Okay. I've gone by the bulletin, I'm sorry.